I dare say that 99% of people should not build a startup. They should build a small and medium business, and maybe it becomes a bigger business. 99% of companies are not a fit for venture capital. There's many other ways of raising money.
I know people who've done both lifestyle and then also VC, and the speed and sort of the outside requirement to build is a very interesting dynamic. It is that sort of extra bit of tension. How do you even begin modeling out, is this worthwhile to go this or this? Which direction to go? To build it yourself or to, you know, take it time?
I understand, Andrew. I think that's a fundamental question when you're building a company is, what type of company am I building? There's a difference between small, medium business, SMB, and a startup. You could be 20 people. You could be making a lot of money. But an SMB is about steady growth, maybe linear growth, or maybe very small growth, stable company. Versus a startup is definitionally something that's moving fast and exponential growth.
Yeah.
So most companies in the US are actually SMBs. If you look at the numbers, just by the sheer numbers from the Department of Labor, most of us Americans work for small and medium businesses. There are some very large companies that deploy very large amounts of people that disproportionately affect the industry and the economy. And then there's startups. But I dare say that 99% of people should not build a startup. They should build a small and medium business. And maybe it becomes a bigger business. 99% of companies are not a fit for venture capital. There's many other ways of raising money. You could get a bank loan. You could get family, friends, rich uncle, rich aunt to invest. You could, or I tend to joke, family, friends, and fools, but you could get money from individuals, from families, from grants, government grants, university grants, from corporates who are interested. The ultimate source of funding is your own customers in many cases. Like many restaurants, most restaurants are funding themselves from some combination of bank loans, savings, and your customers' own revenues, revenues you're making out of your own customers. Mm-hmm. A startup is different. A startup is, let me use this fuel that I'm getting to build a rocket ship. Mm-hmm. And more likely than not, as I continue building this rocket ship, I'll need more and more fuel to go faster and faster, to go further and further. So if your ambition is to go build the next billion-dollar company, or forget even the billion, a large company that grows fast, 10x growth, that's a good metric. Then build a startup. Then go talk to VCs. Otherwise, don't. A VC is going to be a partner in your business. They're going to own a percentage of your business. Hiring and firing a person is hard. Hiring and firing a VC is even harder because you got to get somebody else to buy the ownership off that investor. And it's more complicated than that, but that's what it is at the end of the day. So choose your VCs wisely, choose your investors wisely. You're going to be stuck with them potentially for 10 years, which is longer than the average marriage in the US. So this is a very long-term marriage. And last thing I'll say about this is VCs come in all sizes, shapes, and forms. There are some very big VCs that invest in a lot of different things, but many VCs have focuses. They have different fund sizes. They have different check sizes. They have different strategies. They have different interests. And many of them, if not most of them, won't invest at the pre-seed stage when it's just a PowerPoint. Typically, a first institutional round is at the seed stage. That is typically when you get business or investment, I should say, from a VC. So be mindful of that too. Don't go for the big fish when you're not ready for that. Go for a smaller fish. And fish in this analogy is the VC.
One thing I would love to kind of talk is in going through your background and looking at the things you've done. You worked at Google and then you went to get your MBA at Harvard. Pretty nice. Then you went into the VC world. You were a co-founder in a company, left that to go back to the VC to now have your own fund where you're the managing partner. But what I found really interesting was we're talking about growth and focusing on growth aligned, fast growth, hard growth type of terminology you want, type of businesses. But even going further back to your university days, you went off and started volunteering and started a hospital. And you're still very active with Hospital for Hope. And even including, I was reading through some of the stuff of like teaching students how to volunteer. So on one hand, you're talking about growth, but the other hand, you're doing all this stuff around how to kind of give back and not just give back, but like how to actually make things better through a vision that seems to have stuck and built upon over the years for you. I would love to see how those two directions influenced your journey here as an entrepreneur, now to an investor.
Honored here by your words, AJ, and let me connect the dots a little bit. So the hospital you're alluding to, there's always a story behind the story, and there's many stories.
Yeah.
But I'll give you the snippet here, share the snippet here with the folks listening in. I took a backpack when I was 19, went to rural India. This is not where my family's from. I'm actually born and raised in Brazil, and family's from a different part of India. But I felt that there was a need in this particular region and that I could do something about it. So when I came back to college, I started helping them, this particular nonprofit that I had found there. And we started helping them fundraise. And eventually we helped them fundraise to build a high school library, and then eventually helped them to build a high school lab. And the idea always stuck with me that we could do more. So over time, this idea matured into fundraising to help build a hospital. And you have sort of singled me out here, AJ, and I want to make sure to emphasize this. It's one person with an idea is I think the right word is idiot. But
yes,
have one person with other people working with them, then you become a team, and then you become reality. So I've been blessed with having really good teammates, co-founders, and other folks I've supported. And we went and did crowdfunding before we knew what crowdfunding was, what the word was. And the internet was what enabled us. We got to people all around the world, and we were able to manage things at a distance that weren't possible before, not at the scale that we were able to do. So the story is five of us who had worked mostly at college continued doing this work in our 20s and now 30s and 40s. And we were able to crowdfund and build a hospital that serves 100,000 people and has been in existence now for 10 years. There's about 350,000 followers on Facebook. And for anybody interested in knowing more about this story, there's a lot more online. Hospitalforhope.org is our website. The other part of the story here, AJ, is my professional career, which is, you kind of described it. I went to Google, and then I went to business school, and then I went back, went to VC, went back to Silicon Valley, started a company, and most of the credit to my co-founders there, honestly, and went back into VC and started Tao. And that's 20 years that I have literally summarized in 20 seconds. But the goal there was, I've always believed that when you create value, you get valuations. It's not the other way around. If you're doing something meaningful, then you will figure out a way to also make money out of it. And I've been able to align this in my life. I focus on digital health. I find that there's really two big levers in the world, and one is education and the other one is healthcare. If we can provide healthcare and education to every single human being on the face of this planet, we'll create an incredible society. We'll create an incredible future. We'll unlock capacities and abilities that we can't even dream of right now. So I picked healthcare for a bunch of reasons. I think healthcare in this country, in the US, is extremely broken, and it's also perhaps easier to build a career and a business out of healthcare. Education is, I think, a little bit more complicated, at least in the US, not necessarily in all other countries. And what I do for Tao is invest in companies and then work closely with them for multiple years to help them succeed. So I have companies that use machine learning for detecting fraud, waste, and abuse in healthcare payments. Like, that creates value because you make the system more efficient. I have companies that help simplify medical authorizations. That creates value because all of us are patients at the end of the day and want to get clinical tests. I have companies that are helping you lose weight. I have companies that are helping you manage your elderly care by yourself or for some loved ones.
Yeah.
And when I look at Hospital for Hope, and if I look at Tao Ventures, the values that I operate Hospital for Hope, which is let's make an impact, is the same values that I bring to Tao Ventures. And the mode, the ways in which I operate Tao Ventures help me inform the ways we can run Hospital for Hope in a more efficient way. And I'm not saying it's a business. It's not a business. It's a sustainable nonprofit, Hospital for Hope. But there's an intersection of learnings from both each other. And I do spend 99% of my time with Tao. I spend my free time these days with Hospital for Hope. But that kernel is just enough to keep me grounded. So I'm very grateful for being able to do that kind of work. My fondest hope is that I live in a world where Hospital for Hope or organizations like that are obsolete, that we don't need to have those organizations.
Yeah.
I think we're far from that world. But until we get there, I intend to continue running my life this way. I don't need to choose between making money and giving money away. There's a third way, which is I can make money and do good while making money.
That time frame and sort of the progress that you made together, that is a lot of work. And I always laugh when an entrepreneur says, oh yeah, and then we did X. And I'm like, wait a second, I've done X. X is like 5 years. It's like hard, hard work. Working at Google is not easy. Going to Harvard is not easy. Being a VC is not easy. So I think it is really impressive that you've been able to use this and kind of learn from it as you go forward, because you're not taking the path of like, okay, let me put it on easy mode here. So your ability to kind of pull these things together.
Yeah, well, you're kind. My book of failures fills volumes that only I know. So all of us have books of failures that mostly only we know. What you described makes sense in hindsight. It doesn't usually make sense in foresight, because when I was at one stage, I didn't think I would do the second stage. And when I was at that second stage, I didn't think I would do the third stage. So practically every single plan I've had in my life has not gone the way I wished or thought. But I think what's important is to have a plan and to focus on executing it. And even more important than that is to have the sense of purpose, the sense of vision and mission, like why are you doing this?